Thank you for joining me today, and welcome to God Is. And let's begin with a question. What does God look like? What does God look like? Now that sounds like a simple question, right? This is an inquiry you can imagine a child making. A little girl looks up at her mother one evening and asks, "Mommy, what does God look like?" But now imagine that you are that mother, or father, or grandparent, aunt, uncle, teacher, whatever the case may be. How do you answer? What do you say to this little girl? You might start, "Well, honey, that's a good question. God looks like..." And then what? What do you say? How do you fill in the blank? What does God look like? This is a legitimate question to ask. In fact, it is hardly reserved for inquisitive children. Don't you want to know what God looks like? You know what you look like. You know what everyone else you care about looks like. You even know what I look like if you go online and check. Warning, be prepared, I am not as good-looking as I sound. If there is an historical figure that you are reading about or thinking about, you know that you can Google his or her name and up pops a picture. Or going way back, a painting of that person. Of course, if we keep going back and back in history, then eventually we reach a point where there are no pictures and no paintings and no drawings. Biblically, we do not know what Paul or Peter or Esther or Sarah looked like, but they're all long dead and await the resurrection of the dead, which is still future. But God is not dead. He is past, he is present, and he is future. God is alive. And so, what does God look like? Let's take up this question and answer this from within the pages of the Bible. And just to start, the Bible answers us in two ways. First, the Bible says that God is not a physical being, but a spiritual being. And second, God is invisible. Let me repeat those, and you can jot these down. First, the Bible says that God the Father is not a physical being, but a spiritual being. And second, God the Father is invisible. So God does not look like we look. He is very different from us. Let me give you some brief statements of fact from the scripture from which I derived this answer. I'll start with statements of fact found in the New Testament and then pivot to a narrative in the Old Testament as we find our answers to our question. For example, Jesus says that God is not a physical being, but a spiritual being as clearly as can ever be said. And Jesus is trustworthy because he is God in human flesh. Listen to the pithy words of Jesus in the Bible's New Testament book of John, chapter 4 and verse 24. You may know this, but it bears repeating often. Jesus says, "God is spirit." There you have it. God is spirit. God the Father is not a physical being, but a spiritual being. You want to tuck these words of our Lord neatly into your mind for the next few days because soon we'll see Jesus' words in action. But for now, I want to give you some brief statements for our second biblical answer. God is invisible. Knowing what God looks like cannot be answered in the same way that we can say what any one of us look like. We can be seen. However, God cannot be seen because God is invisible. God himself affirms this repeatedly in his holy and infallible word. I want to share three scriptures with you, and the first is 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. But just before I read it, let me tell you or remind you, these are the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, the young man that Paul is mentoring in ministry. The New Testament includes two letters from Paul to Timothy, and this is the first of these. Well, listen to the way the Apostle Paul describes God. I love this. And many a pastor has used this as a benediction at the end of the church's worship service. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Did you hear it? Paul says God is invisible to the King, invisible. And then further along in this same book of 1 Timothy, we come to chapter 6 and verses 15 and 16. And again, Paul is writing about God and says, "He who is the blessed, and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. And then further along in the New Testament, we come to the book of Hebrews. And in the 11th chapter, in the 27th verse, the author, who is unknown to us, was writing about Moses. And the writer of Hebrews says that when Moses, by faith, engaged the living God, Moses encountered God who is unseen. God who is unseen. Hebrews 11, verse 27. So what does God look like? First, the Bible says that God the Father is not a physical being, but a spiritual being. And second, God the Father is invisible. And I've shown this to you in some of the New Testament text. Jesus answers, and then the Apostle Paul answers. And as the sovereignty of God would have it, these two answers to the question, what does God look like, come together in an Old Testament narrative found in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy. This is where I invite you to turn next. If you have your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road, just listen. But if you're able to do so, pick up your copy of God's Word and turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. And as you turn there, I want to give you a little background of what's happening in the Bible at this moment in Israel's history. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, the author, takes a look both backwards and forwards. He reminds the Jews of their history under God and then casts their eyes into the future to see what disobedience to God will mean to them should they choose that destructive path. When we enter the story, he's looking back and reminding the Jews of how God gave them his law and what was the content of that holy law. Moses is giving this history lesson to a second generation of Israelites. These are men and women between the ages of 40 and 60 who were born in Egypt and participated in the Exodus as children and teenagers. Anyone under the age of 40 listening to the words I'm about to read from Moses were born and raised in the desert. But now this group of Jews sits ready to enter the land of Canaan under Joshua, who I grant you was older than 60 at this time. All of those within the sound of Moses' voice needed to hear again of this magnificent history because it has great bearing on their own lives at the time in which Moses speaks this to them. That's just like us. We need to hear again and again, day by day, the history of God because what God did in the past, what God said in the past in his holy word applies to our lives here and now. And so as you listen to me read or read along, remember that every single word is for you. They're by your radio, phone, and computer today. This applies to us all. And as I have studied this, I have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in me bringing application to my life. I'll pick up the reading at verse 1. This is Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. And Moses says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I'm teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." So Moses is telling them about statutes and judgments. In short, this is how God wants the Israelites to live. He wants them to be ruled and reigned by God's statutes, the way to conduct their lives, and judgments, the judicial decisions of God, in relation to the way God will lead them in the future. This is the law of God, and we'll see more about this as we proceed in the text. As a matter of fact, let's keep reading now at verse 5 and listen again for statutes and judgments. This is Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. "See, I've taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it." These statutes and judgments of God are what the Jews are supposed to do, how they are to live, what they are to carry out in the land they're about to possess, a land called Canaan that God has graciously given to them in his mercy. Now let me read further along, without comment, in verses 6 through 9. Again, we're in Deuteronomy 4, and now at verse 6. Moses continues, "So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law, which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. That was Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. In these words of Moses, we learned that Israel was to be a missionary people. That is, when the surrounding peoples and nations see the Jews living by the righteous statutes and judgments of God, they will wonder, who is the God of the Israelites? He is very different from our gods, small g. Their God is near to them. He answers them when they pray to him. And when the nations observe how the Jews live, diligently doing what God commands, living in obedience to God, not forgetting what their eyes have seen, talking about the deeds of God to their sons and grandsons, the people from these other nations, people who God also loves, will themselves bow before the only true God and worship him. This is Moses' message to his people, the Israelites, in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And this reading sets us up for tomorrow when we come to verse 10 in this text. And verses 10 through 19 of Deuteronomy 4 will help us answer our question. What does God look like? Really, it will. So when you come back, I'll make one comment about verse 7 that I just read. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. And then I'll take us further down into this awesome chapter, Deuteronomy 4. You could read this chapter on your own today, and then join me next time. For God is...